So, Jenny Palmer is the school engagement specialist at the Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Campaign of North Carolina, and she's going to talk about how she works with schools and school systems to help them make sexuality education part of the community norms. Jenny.
Thank you. So, thank you very much, and especially to April for going over the nuts and bolts of what the WISE initiative is, the Working to Institutionalize Sex Education Initiative. I don't have any relationships to disclose. A little bit before we start into the nitty-gritty, the Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Campaign of North Carolina is a community-based organization that works across the state to prevent adolescent pregnancy through collaboration, through advocacy, and through education. And really, our vision is that we want our young people to grow up healthy and happy with all of the resources that they need, such as effective sex education, family support, access to care that they need in order to prevent teen and unplanned pregnancies. So here's the scoop. North Carolina, well, first of all, United States, highest teen pregnancy rate in the industrialized world. North Carolina, 14th highest in the United States. That means that in 2010, 49.7 out of 1,000 15 to 19-year-olds got pregnant, and 27% of those were repeat pregnancies. The good news, we had an 11% drop in our teen pregnancy rate between 2009 and 2010. Those are the most recent dates that we have available, although the 2011 data is coming out like within a week, so we're really excited to see what happens with that. And also, the other good news is that parents, the vast majority of parents support sex education in the schools in North Carolina. That might run counter to what you would imagine, but that is the case. So that's what North Carolina looks like. The policy background is that in 1995, we instituted a mandate for abstinence-only until marriage education throughout the state. There was an ability for local school districts to opt out and teach comprehensive sex ed, but the process doing so was extremely arduous, time-consuming and annoying, because there was a public meeting that school boards had to have, which of course just foments the fake controversy. And so little by little, we as a movement worked towards getting comprehensive sex ed in the schools, and in 2009 we had two very major legislative changes for the better, one of which was the Healthy Youth Act, which expanded the education in schools to not just cover abstinence, but also cover all of the FDA-approved contraceptives, STI testing, treatment, and local resources, sexual violence prevention, and opportunities for parents to engage in the sex ed programs, as well as making sure that it's medically accurate and peer-reviewed. So, woot! Then the other thing that happened in 2009 was that we had another piece of legislature, which is the School Violence Prevention Act, which is an anti-bullying law. And in that anti-bullying law, and this is at the time was the most progressive legislation about anti-bullying in the United States, because it enumerated both sexual orientation and gender identity as categories that we're not able to bully, thank goodness. So that has implications on sex ed, because that means teachers can feel free to know that they have to create a safe space for all students. Okay, so what did we do about that? Big law change, so what do you do? We had three main partners that worked towards helping out the schools. And one is the North Carolina School Health Training Center, which is out of Appalachian State, and it's the main professional development provider for school teachers that teach health and PE. The North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, their DASH coordinator, DASH again being the division of school or adolescent school health and having an HIV coordinator, they were very important, and as well as the Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Campaign of North Carolina, and we all took different roles. The DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, kind of has its hands tied in many ways. We're a local control state, which means that the state isn't going to be recommending a curriculum, isn't going to be mandating anything. That's up to the no specific policies. That's just up to the local entities. However, they did put together a fantastic frequently asked questions portion on their website and provided a link to the North Carolina Association of School Boards model policy. So they have been instrumental. They also help fund the North Carolina School Health Training Center. And their rule, this is all very complicated, but we all work together to make sure the good stuff happens. The North Carolina School Health Training Center created a series of lesson plans that were evidence-informed and that aligned 100% with the mandate of the Healthy Youth Act, as well as the educational standards. And they were cheap. They were $25. So, $25. So you're handed, basically on a silver platter, a series of lesson plans that will get you what you want. And then what we did at the Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Campaign of North Carolina is we went on a Healthy Youth Act roadshow where we toured across the state and provided training to all of the teachers and school districts that could possibly want it. And we reached, between the School Health Training Center, which did a similar training, and APPCNC, we reached, I think, 90 out of 100 counties with that stuff. So April just told you all about WISE. I'm here to tell you that was the background of what North Carolina is about, and this is what we did with WISE. So she already said, environmental scan, school identification, working with policy, having engagement of community and administrators, dealing with the specifics of implementation, all of that's required for true institutionalization and sustainability. So a little bit about what we've done in North Carolina. We have 5 school districts. They are very different in some ways and very similar in others. Orange County is the school district that's outside Chapel Hill. So it doesn't include Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which is like, you know, super liberal for North Carolina. But Orange County schools are the rural area that's around that. Thomasville City Schools is a very small rural community that has a fantastic champion. Rockingham County Schools is a medium-sized school district that is extremely rural and abuts the Virginia state line. Wilkes County Schools is quite interesting. It's one of the most conservative communities in North Carolina and also one of the ones that we worked with most intensively. And then finally, Asheville City Schools, another school district that's small and, again, located in a relatively liberal area, Asheville. So as far as how many students we're reaching with the policy and the implementation, because the Healthy Youth Act requires this education in 7th, 8th, and 9th grades. So, you know, it has that across the way. And we're reaching, it looks like, 27 schools, middle and high, and almost 40,000 students, which isn't a huge number because we're going to be scaling up soon. So quick snapshot of Wilkes County Schools. This was the very conservative one. Its claim to fame is that it has a bluegrass festival called Merle Fest. It's located in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and it has a big problem with meth labs. We had a champion come out of the health department and address us when she learned about WISE, and she had great relationships in the schools. So because we had that champion, she was able to hook us up with the administration. So the person who's in charge of all of the health teachers then helped me hook up with the assistant superintendent, and I did lots of administrative advocacy trainings. In other words, trainings to increase knowledge about the Healthy Youth Act among administrators. We did a capacity assessment to see where they were going and what they needed, and then came up with a TA and training plan design based on that. And we're now just getting, so we did all that last year, and now we're getting into the stages of implementation. So what we learned about all of this is that relationships and partnerships are going to be essential. Without the School Health Training Center and without the Department of Public Instruction, we would have been left behind entirely. You need to have ample planning time. You're not going to just zip in and get it done. You have to do a lot of things instead of just throwing teachers into training and then getting them in the classrooms. You need to have champions on high. If you have a teacher who is very gung-ho, that's fantastic until it gets to the principal who puts the kibosh on it, and then you're left up a creek. And you also need to, when working with school systems, you need to realize that things are going to move at a snail's pace or a tortoise's pace. And then when they're ready to go, they make the decision, then you got to scoot out the door like the hare. What we're going to be doing next in the upcoming years with support from the Grove Foundation and a private foundation is to continue to support our current partner districts and start some implementation monitoring so that we know that they're actually going through the process and delivering the comprehensive sex ed. We're going to engage new districts so that we can continue to take this project to scale as much as possible. And that's what we're doing in North Carolina.
Thank you very much. So, as I said, we have a little bit of time left. First, I just want to see if there's clarification questions on these last two presentations about WISE, and then we'll open it up a little broader. Okay, could you stand up and speak loudly, please? Answer, why don't you come back here? It seems like, why don't you both? And then we're going to, I promise, open this up more broadly, so please hold, keep your questions for the whole big picture.
I think ideally the overall WISE method toolkit could be used by advocates, but also by any champion. So it could be within the school districts or elsewhere, because it just lays out a framework and gives some suggestions for where to move. The piece you asked about resistant school districts is great, and if you'll see me after, we actually were able to develop with a graduate student from the University of Washington a community mobilization toolkit that allows you to target community in a way to get those resistant administrators kind of moved along with external, and we were successful in doing that. So.
Did you want to add? No, that's good.
Okay. Is there one more question on this presentation, these presentations? No? Okay, thanks.
Wait.
Okay. All right, wait a second. We have two. Did you want to? Okay, go ahead. Come. Ask loudly.
A question about funding. You talked at the end some about foundation funding, but I'm sort of curious in terms of actual government funding. Like, was there, and also just if you can give an example of sort of some of the models you used for training the teachers? When you went on the road, like, what sort of different modalities or whatever
you use actually training? Sure. Okay, so as far as that last question goes, every school district has different needs. And so in Wilkes County Schools, for example, we provided them, they were phys ed teachers who had possibly never taught sex ed before in their lives. And they needed very basic things. They needed content, and they needed comfort increase. And so we designed a day-long training. I know that's nothing. To give them, you know, feeling a little bit more confident in their ability to answer sensitive questions, in their ability to utilize role plays, just some basics like that. And then what was the first part of the question again? Oh, about funding, right? So one of the other partnerships that we didn't talk about is the partnerships with the federally funded agencies ranging from Title V to CDC to PrEP, we work all together, and some of us are working in schools, and so we meet together and tackle the same sort of, we're all working towards the same goal, and so we coordinate a lot, and we're able to leverage some of that funding, but the funding for the WISE project in general is all private grant, or private foundation funding. And April?
I just want to say that part of our grant requirement is leveraging state and federal funds, so it's actively looking to do that and not duplicate what's going on there.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'd like to hear what are some good stories of local health departments championing, you know, your work and what's the best thing health departments can do with it.
Let's do it very quickly so we can open up some more.
Yeah. I'll just say it depends on, you know, health departments are under a lot of strain these days financially. So they can offer everything from actually sending health educators out to provide support and teaching in the schools. They're there as a resource. They can help, they're out in the community, so they can also identify a lot of resources if they're not in the schools actually doing teaching.
Maybe you can talk to them afterwards. Okay, now, questions in general. We sort of have five pinpoints of the state of the art of affirmative approaches to youth sexual and reproductive health. And from your own experiences, what would you like to contribute? Or questions, what would you like to answer? Yes, stand up and speak loudly. Yes. Would you like to come up here, Pamela, just so everyone can hear you?
Sure, I think that's a really good question. And one of the pillars of doing iterative qualitative research that I followed and have read many papers by scientists who do share similar identities. And the method that I chose in terms of being narrative and eliciting stories did call for me as a researcher or investigator to co-create the stories with the participants. So the stories that kind of came out did allow for me to affirm some of their experiences that they were talking about. And I think that created a level of comfort to get to draw some of the stories out that were important to them. However, I did have only 3 to 4 questions in my interview, and really elicited more, asked them to really expound on their own place or position. And so I wouldn't say that I contributed a lot to that, but I would say that it was definitely a small part of the process in co-creating the stories and getting the richness of the data that I got.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have a lot of faith-based organizations in the city, which is awesome. There are some that have policies in place that if young people have any questions about sex, they turn them away. They can't even ask the question. They say, don't talk to me about it. So I don't know if you had any experience, any of you, in addressing barriers like that, or anyone in the audience, because it's not even about sex now, they're just turning young people away. That might have other issues that are, relevant and connected to the work that they're doing, but it's hard when it's part of their mission or vision sometimes. So I don't know if people have that experience.
Okay, Jenny? North Carolina, something
about North
that.
Yeah, we definitely know about that. Often teachers are either freaked out or they think that their administration won't support them or whatever. And one of the things that we did in North Carolina was we established a text message warm line called the Birds and Bees, and the Birds, B-R-D-Z, or something, I don't know, or N Bees, Birds and Bees. And that is a resource that we can tell our teachers about where they can pass the buck. They can say, hey, text this text line and you'll get an answer to your question. And sure enough, they text me and I get the texts and I answer them. So we were able to do that as a service to them. So ways to make referrals that are easy. That's what we did.
As I said at the beginning, I've worked only on international youth reproductive health programs, and one of the countries we work in is Nigeria, and we've got a lot of work going on in school sexuality education at secondary level, but also we funded a computerized version of the curriculum in Nigeria. You can see it if you go to www.learningaboutliving.org, which is an animated Nigeria-specific version of the curriculum. And we tell the teachers and the people training teachers in Nigeria that if they don't feel comfortable with something, just either use that computer version in school or send the kids to it. And there's a text message component as well. So someday I'd love to see a panel on North-South, Global North, Global South comparisons. Yes, please stand up and speak loudly.
I'm curious, have any of you had experience with the success or engagement of males, given the issues that have been raised here? I'm sort of curious, and particularly given the distribution of the audience. Those guys would like to hear some of that.
Yes, Stephanie, come up here. And there's international work on that too. So
we actually do have we have a pretty extensive male involvement program, and so we actually have male educators that can bring that male perspective, and we do our male involvement program, and we really focus on. Allowing the male to really explore some of the stigma of fatherhood, the machismo kind of attitude or the masculinity that comes with I'm a man, I have to be having sex. That's a natural progression. We kind of retro back and start thinking and having them go through that whole process of the decision making that goes along with that and really focusing on the planning and getting them to look at the different life ambitions that a lot of people don't really focus on with them with teen pregnancy prevention. We also look at it as a couple thing. We really want the men to start looking at the relationship and really focusing on that as well. So the male perspective is kind of my passion. I love working with the men. I don't know why.
we have a couple more comments on that, too.
Yeah.
Part of our work that we do with community-based organizations or schools when they're doing their goal setting and looking for curricula is if they're targeting a particular community and they want to address rates of STIs and teen pregnancy prevention, and it's not, and the rates are not solely just in young girls, and we encourage them to adopt a curricula that's going to target both, and there's a lot of good curricula that targets girls and boys. In addition to that, I want to give a plug to the Office of Population Affairs has been doing a major initiative around male accessing reproductive health care and trying to put out some best practices about it. And I really want to acknowledge one of my colleagues that's here, Sarah Goldenkrantz, as an evaluator in looking and getting those best practices out about how to be more male-friendly in reproductive health services.
I think that's a great question, and in part doing a lot of sexual assault prevention education, some of it will be peer presented with male and female presenters, and also something that Sonia and I have talked a lot about is implementing positive male models of sexuality, which then translate into sexual assault prevention, just like not limiting women's sexuality or a narrow perspective on women's sexuality, extending opportunities for male sexuality is something that we've focused a lot on and think is extremely important in doing this type of work. So it's a great question and something that we push toward in our own work.
Great. And for those of you interested in the international side of things, there's a global network called Men Engage. There's a new global campaign called Men Care, which is aiming at getting men around the world more engaged as partners, both with their women, wives, or girlfriends, and with their children. So there is a lot of work going on that. I want to respect everyone's time. I hope you'll join me in thanking the panel for their presentations. And thanks very much to all of you for coming. There's one more plug that I'd like to make, which is, if you like this session, it's organized by the Population and Reproductive and Sexual Health section. So if you're not a member of that section, we would love to have you. Please consider joining our section someday. Thanks very much. See you in Boston next year.